Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So listen, how's your Christmas shopping going? You haven't started yet, have you? Well, fear not. The Big Interview is here to help solve all your problems. For the football fans in your life, here's three stocking fillers. Firstly, the documentary film of my book, Barca, The Making of the Greatest Team in the World, is now available everywhere on DVD and digital download. Take the Ball, Pass the Ball is the definitive story, we like to say, of the greatest football team ever assembled, and features exclusive interviews with Barca's stellar cast of current and ex-players, including that geezer Lionel Messi, Xavi, Andrés Iniesta, Thierry Henry, Dani Alves, Gerard Piqué, Carlos Puyol and Sergio Busquets, plus a rare exclusive contribution from Pep Guardiola himself. There, that's that one present sorted. Secondly, my old chum and fellow dandy, Jonathan Northcroft, has a new book out published by Backpage, these marvellous people that bring you the books, the podcasts. It's called Deadlines and Darts with Delhi, and it's Jonathan's World Cup diary from Russia last summer, and it's essential reading for the football fan in your life. Finally, check out another Backpage book, Football 2.0, How the World's Best Play the Modern Game by Grant Wall. Through extensive interviews with one player in every key position on and off the pitch, Grant breaks down the technical and tactical revolutions which have transformed football. So, there you have it. Take the Ball, Pass the Ball, Deadlines and Darts with Delhi, Football 2.0. That's not only difficult to say, it's Christmas sorted. Courtesy of your friends at The Big Interview. You're ho, ho, ho. Welcome. Here's the news you've all been waiting for. Kevin Bridges is back on The Big Interview. The man that listeners voted their favourite ever guest returned during his sellout stint at Glasgow's SECC, during which Kevin recorded his new DVD, which is out right now. This is Kevin on football mostly, as you'll know from his first visit way back in season one of The Big Interview. It's not about his routines on stage. He's contagiously, infectiously, naturally funny, and he knows his football. So, thanks to Kevin, thanks to Hotel Duvan in Glasgow, where we hung out again for this chat, and thanks to all of you for listening to it. I need to establish some things. You're not just here because, you know, there's a certain degree of brotherly love between us. You're here because of statistical reasons. You're the first ever repeat Big Interview,
and still sequel.
And still the biggest audience numbers ever. And sorry, Jürgen, bigger than Klopp. Yes, Kevin, bigger than Klopp.
I'll take that.
Thank you. I thought you might be pleased about that. So, given that this is the sequel, let me pick up. Traditionally, you're supposed to begin with something, you know, positive. But let me pick up on a down note. Like, the last interview was a lot about meeting Henrik the first time, the bus ticket, ink on his jeans.
Yep.
Now, I saw you on television at Soccer AM, where they finally got you on the programme.
That's right. That was, well, I actually met him, you know what I mean, as an adult. I don't think I met him as an autograph hunter as a kid, but that was,
and I have
that
to
was
say,
the first time we'd actually,
for my taste, it didn't live up to, because you utterly outplayed him on the football pitch. And that's the thing I'm trying to build a platform to say. Like, he was rubbish and you were quite good. And yep, you outscored him and outplayed him. Had you been out drinking the night before? What was the story?
I had actually been out drinking the night before. The night before that recording, I was having a few beers with my tour manager, and then we seen a bunch of guys in like football tracksuits. I think it was the Shrewsbury team. So I don't think it was the team, I think it was the staff. They were playing in the, what was it, the Football League Trophy final or whatever, the following day. So I ended up pretty drunk with the Shrewsbury coaching staff, and I was telling them I was going to meet Henrik Larsson on Soccer AM in the morning.
And what, they gave you tips about how to, like, that trap and volley, that top corner stuff? I mean, you nearly found a bucket, man. It was just...
I got them pretty steaming, so I put money on whoever they were playing winning the final, because I got the manager and some nick. None of the players were boozing, they were in bed, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know if they won, I'm pretty sure they get beat, but can we check that? Can we have a fact check?
Oh, aye, we're on it this minute, we're on it right now. Neil's
got the iPad.
He's a Shrewsbury fanatic.
What do you even search for? Did Shrewsbury win the football league, whatever it's
Google
called?
Google says no answers. But, I mean, so that, like that, whatever it did to Shrewsbury, did it just kind of relax you and you went in there with a groove on the Saturday morning?
It's the first time I've ever been starstruck. Like, I don't really...
Still again? That time as well?
He's a guy just synonymous with so many happy memories and, like, childhood, just the happiest years of your life, sort of. So when to
I
meet him,
understand
and,
it.
And I don't think he's changed much. He's very, still got that kind of, the voice, that kind of droll sound. He's just, I don't know, he's got star quality, hasn't he?
He's doing great, Nick. He's very intense. You know, he looks as if he could still play. But, you know, I watched the whole thing and, you know, I know how, you know, John Fenners was just so excited to get you on, to get the two of you on. And I looked at Henrik and I thought he was starstruck too. That's what I thought was going on, because...
Well, he wanted to come to one of my shows. He gave me his number and said that he'd seen my stand-up and he was a fan. So I think he was going to come to the Apollo in London, but he never texted me, so I'm a bit sad about that. But
you met him, so that's one chopped off the
I
list.
Just saved his number as Henrik.
Is it nice to...
It's a good, even just getting that text message going, nice to meet you, pal, from Henrik. So,
is it still nice, given what you've achieved and all the people, you know, because you make me feel like that all the time, mate. I know you love your music, but, you know, I obsess time with my music too. So when you'll drop in, like, Noel and I, or when Noel and I were out with Roger Daltrey, or whatever. Do you have any idea of the effect that's having on me?
Did I go that far? Did I say Noel and I? Surely.
Maybe it was Noel who said Kevin and I.
I still give him his full name. I don't want to enter Noel and I stage. Just still, that's right, I know Gallagher. He actually sent me one of the greatest text messages I've ever received. I was in Dublin and Noel was over watching U2. So it turns out we're in the same hotel. And in the reception of the hotel in Dublin, I seen Matt Damon, who was also over to see U2. So I'd been texting Noel, going, I hear you're in Dublin, we're in the same hotel. Celtic were playing Inverness, Cali Thistle. And I was like, to Noel, I'm going to go and watch it in a bar somewhere. Do you fancy it? And he goes, ah, definitely, mate. So this was, the game was on the Sunday. And on the Saturday, about 2 o'clock in the morning, or midnight, 2 in the morning, I get a text from Noel saying, not going to make the Celtic Inverness game in the pub. I'm over at Bono's having tea and toast with Matt Damon. And I was like, mate, that is the greatest excuse for Dingy and Celtic Inverness I've ever read. I was like, you enjoy your tea. And I was going to invite me. Is Bono get BT Sport? I'll come over. But that text, I'm what an excuse, man. I'm in Bono's.
Please tell me you went back to someone like part-time supporter or...
No, I was just hands up, respect.
It's not bad, is it?
Aye, it's a decent... I just watched it myself, Celtic Inverness.
It's better than I got from his brother. When Manchester City said, could you fix Liam and his partner, who was his manager, who's now his partner, up with tickets for the Clásico. So I bent bus on his ear backwards. It's really important, and he loves his football, and could you do it? And I'm like, aye, listen, because I've never asked for, could we have VIP hospitality? And so, yeah, okay, we can. If he comes over and he'll do a little picture with the president of Barcelona and Liam Gallagher. I was like, okay, if you really want that. And we go and we meet him on the day of the game, and it's a day when City are at Chelsea in the morning. So they've arrived and she's on the phone saying, listen, let's meet somewhere. There's a pub that he can watch the game in the morning without being mithered, they say in Manchester. And I was like, well, no. So they go nicking around the whole of town. There's a bit of a sort of tail, ponytail of people behind them following them. They find a little Irish bar and I go and deliver the tickets there. Nice little chat, hello. And City get beat, pumped by Chelsea, and he doesn't fucking turn up. Doesn't, no message that I'm at Matt Damon's watching the snooker with.
What, he never went to the Clásico?
Never messaged. They're at the Barcelona like this to me. So was there ever really a Liam Gallagher request? So my arse is still hanging out the window. So Liam, if you're listening, you definitely.
Where did the tickets go? Do you know?
Sat there empty. There was a 99,998 capacity.
Was it a confirmed sighting that he was even in Barcelona?
Well, I handed the tickets over to him, and we had sort of a half glass of ale in the morning.
I thought you handed them to like, somebody.
They were there together, and it was absolutely fantastic. So in terms of memories, that's a great memory. For me, about like how I chose the wrong brother. Now you're scratching your head now through the mists of the coffee, the black coffee.
You're getting
a clearer picture. You had a chance to say, "I've just remembered."
I've just been handed the classified. The results are in. League One playoff final. That's what it's called. Rotherham 2, Shrewsbury 1. They get beat. I take a slight bit of responsibility for Shrewsbury's defeat there.
It was that last creme de menthe that you served them. So look, while we're talking about, you know, great orators like Matt Damon and Bono, who I knew would come up in this, you spend a lot of your living on your feet communicating. How has it proven that you're able to transfer that to the football dressing?
I've got a Matt Damon story.
Come on.
Can we swear on the podcast?
If I'm quoting
Matt Damon, can I swear?
All right then.
That was the Noel, the Bono tea and toast story. That was about 3 years ago. Last year, I was in New York, went for a couple of beers, me and Kerry, my girlfriend, and she was moaning at me to get in this taxi because I was steaming. So she's outside in the taxi, I'm still in the bar, went to the toilet, and I'm walking through the pub. I turned to my side and I seen Matt Damon, like the Matt Damon, and I didn't want to be annoying, but it's Matt Damon. So I walked over and I said, "Look, mate, I'm a big fan, I don't want to annoy you, but I just want to shake your hand." And I was like, "My girlfriend's outside, and I'm kind of in the bad books. She's a massive fan as well. Is there any chance you would just say hello to her?" So he goes, "Of course." I told him the Noel story. And he starts going, "Oh, you know Noel," and we're talking away. And then I mentioned, I could tell I was going to maybe start boring him. He's just having a beer with his mates. But I said, "I hear you're a Boca Juniors fan because his missus is from Argentina."
And how do you know this about people?
I don't know. That's creepy, isn't it? But anyway, I said to him, immediately his eyes lightened up and he's like, "Oh, man." He's like, "Yeah, I was over at the game, man. The fans are crazy." And end up speaking about Boca and his Boca River, and he's telling his mates about the Super Classico. And it was borderline telling me to have a seat. You know what I mean? I'd really connected with the guy. And I said, "Look, mate, I don't want to annoy you. I'm going to bring my missus in because she wants me up the road. Apparently, I'm steaming." So I walked out the pub and I was like, "Kerry, come here." And she's going, "No, you said the last one was the last one." I was like, no, just promise me you'll come in." And she goes, "What is it?" And I was like, "Just promise me it'll be worth it. Come back in the pub." So we walk on over, and I was like, "Kerry, this is Matt." And then she done a sort of double take, and she's starstruck. So we start speaking, and then Kerry's telling Matt Damon how much a massive fan she is. And then Kerry goes, "Right, I better get him up the road." And Matt Damon, I quote, goes, "Why, is he being a..." So, he called me a C-U-M-T. So,
a big moment now is how did Kerry respond to that?
She was laughing. She agreed. She said, "Yes, very
that's
much
worrying,
so."
That's worrying.
And we get back in the taxi. But he was a big Boca fan. I think he's been over a few times to see the games through his girlfriend, his wife.
Do things kind of just happen around you? Do you know what I mean?
That was my favourite like celebrity sort of meeting, because it wasn't on a chat show or through. No, the 2 years been on. Work-wise, it was just I bumped into Matt Damon in a boozle, so that was a better sort of moment.
So given that you've already established it was in New York, because Matt texts me a lot, and the last time he did that, you were in the Banshee in Boston watching...
Yes, I was over there, when was that, a couple of years ago?
Nah.
But Man City were playing Chelsea the same day Celtic were playing Motherwell.
Barcelona were playing Real Madrid, it was the Liam Gallagher day!
Was that the same day?
Well, it was City playing Chelsea.
That's right, because the Clásico was starting after the games. Walk in, it's all downstairs is all like Americans with Man City strips, you know, like Chelsea. Like, "Supported Man City for 6 months, man, the diehard." Or these dweebs. But upstairs they had the Celtic Motherwell game on. Now me and Kerry had been at the Boston Celtics the night before, the basketball, watching that. And I think Celtic kicked off at like 7 in the morning, but we got our times mixed up, walked in at half time, and it was the game. Colo Touré had a nightmare. I think we were getting beat 2-0 at half time. We walked in and Celtic came back. And it was, remember the game? Tom Rogic scored the one. I think it was 4-3 in the end. But we walked in 2-0. We left that pub heroes. We were the ones that came in. Half time. We changed the shape. Came in and that was the Banshee. Boston is the best city I've ever been to.
Seriously?
Oh, it's amazing. The people are cool. They're just very funny. I like the way they've got a bit of attitude. You know what I mean?
We were there in the World Cup in 1994. You met Pete, my brother, and Eloise, you've met, she was there, and we were following Ireland, and we had a good old trip. We did. We stayed in one of these old clapperboard houses that was very elegant, painted sky blue, it just so happened, tall, and it was a beautiful tree-lined avenue in front of it. And there was a guy who must have been 170. He was in clothes that came from another century. He moved about, like, you know, an inch every hour, and he was decrepit but friendly with a beautiful Boston accent. And he literally looked like it was impossible he was alive. When you see these 1,000-year-old Galapagos tortoises, this was the human equivalent. And then the lovely, elegant woman at the front desk said to us, "You may meet the elderly gentleman." And I thought that was such a beautiful way to describe this fella. So that code for us is part of our Boston memories. And Faneuil Hall, where we just ate, what's the seafood soup there?
Chowder. I almost mispronounced chowder, see, because of that Simpsons episode with Mayor Quimby. Say chowder. It's the words with R in it. Like, they say you should practice with the sentence, "I need a quarter for some water for my daughter's dog." You try, "I need a quarter for some water for my daughter's dog." Apparently that's how you get a Boston accent.
Right, okay, I'm on that. I'm not going to try it now on tape because I make an arse of myself often enough, regularly enough.
So I would love the World Cup. I would love to have been at
But it should be back there. You know,
they need to put it back. The World Cup needs to be in a football country for a start, but I think America are kind of catching up. You go there and...
It's different now. Neither of us are snobs there, but so, like, there was a time when you'd look at soccer in America and you think, "Oh, that's shit." Now, if you listen to the pros, watch the
Premiership anyway, but...
It's very, very, very good quality now. It's higher and higher quality. The fans are, even though they're a six-month love affair, they're becoming more devoted. And I was talking to somebody...
Some of the songs are shocking. Have you ever seen some of the clips of the American ultras?
No.
Oh, man. There's a clip. It's just... they're all singing, "The referee's a wanker, the referee's a wanker." But they're in the pub before the game. Imagine trying to start that in the pub before a game.
Well, are you waiting? Oh, I'll give him a chance, lads. Eh?
Who is the referee? We don't even... the whole pub, "The referee's a wanker." Oh, there's some shockers. If you go onto YouTube, just watch American football chants or whatever.
Okay, then I will.
Anytime I switch it on Sky Sports, whatever, the crowds, the stadiums are always full.
Mm.
And the standard is good. You know, it's
definitely better.
Decent games.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I'd done a show with Frank Lampard just after he came back. Who did he played for?
New York City. Yeah.
And I was saying to him, it was him, Pirlo, David Villa, and I think it was like eight college frat boys. I think the top loaded the team with the three big names. But when you watch the games now, there's actually decent players.
There's much more of a balance.
Aye. The last few times I've watched games, I've noticed that it's not just been... You switch on the game just because, "Oh, this is Zlatan's team," or "This is Wayne Rooney's team." Like, it's actually, I think the standards... something about watching a game on the telly when the stadium's full.
Mm-hmm.
It
makes a huge difference.
It's a lot, but you can
equate to it. You can equate to... Like, you're not just watching the thing, you're imagining being there or listening to the songs in your case. Did you see that Rooney goal?
Oh, incredible.
Where it's a corner, you know, it's an
attack. He never scored it. He put in the cross... I don't understand about that. Was it not like 1-1?
Yeah, it's...
So why had they sent the keeper up if it was a...
I suspect it. Well, I don't know the answer to that question.
I take it they needed to win the game. But
remember when they started football way back in the States, they couldn't handle a draw.
That's
shootouts
right.
Were everything. Overtime in NFL.
I remember trying to explain, there's a comedian, Bill Burr, who's amazing, and he could never get his head around the fact a game could finish 0-0, because he's a big into his American sports, and it's like 97-22 or whatever, but I'm telling him it was 0-0, and he was like,
"Well, I know you're not.
Where is the fun in that?" But
I know you're not a particular cricket fan, but you try to tell them about a 5-day game where you still get a
draw.
Oh,
that's different.
So I know I'm not asking you to join in on that.
Scotland beat England at cricket.
Come
did you
on.
See that recently?
Yeah.
I never knew guys in Scotland played cricket.
I thought
it was community service. If you headbutt a bouncer, you get sentenced to a 5-day test match. But I couldn't believe it. I've seen it because right beside where we are just now, there's cricket.
It's fabulous cricket. Right, cricket. I know.
If you look at the window, we can see a cricket pitch.
I think I've played there.
Which is grim.
Kevin, man. In all our friendship, you've never disappointed me until now.
Are you a cricket fan, Graham?
I fucking love cricket, man.
I think you know a guy. I don't dislike it.
And I've not headbutted anybody ever.
It's a big commitment, isn't it? 5 days. It's hardcore, isn't it?
But it's you do it for the love of it, man. It's gorgeous. It's tricksy and it's mental and it's when you're in that when you're bowling a bang, that's 1v1, man. That's...
My mate loves it. He actually goes to Lords. My mate Tam, he's from Drumchapel, but he loves cricket.
Tell Tam.
And he gets done, but I think he likes the scene because you can sit and have a few beers. And it's only really football fans that get treated like animals in it. Every other sport.
And what did we ever do to deserve that treatment?
This is true. But you go to what, Bundesliga games.
All right. Just you try showing the other sports, that Rangers Celtic Cup final when it was everybody on board and the whiskey bottles.
It's only happening.
I
seen a fight at the Bundesliga. We went over to see, I met this guy who worked at Adidas and he said, anytime you want to come and see a game, just let me know if it's an Adidas team. So I was like, amazing. Adidas Al, that's what I had his number saved as. And Adidas Al, I text him just saying, I would like to come and see Bayern, me and a few of my mates. He said, no problem. So Bayern were playing Schalke on the Saturday night and I noticed Hertha Berlin were playing on the Friday night. So I said to my pals, why don't we fly to Berlin on the Friday, go and see Hertha?
Exactly.
In the stadium where Zidane headbutted Matera. I always wanted to see the Olympic stadium.
Out in the forest, it's a forest all around.
That was incredible.
Clear journey out and it's a big old lump of a stadium, isn't it?
Amazing. So we flew there and then I thought we'll just get a train. And obviously you're just used to Scotland being the size that it is. I thought the train would be 2-3 hours. So Berlin to Munich, it was a 7-hour train journey. And Bayern's game was 5 p.m, so we had to be up. Went to the gate, you can just booze right through the game. The guy comes up with a beer gun during the Hertha game, just refilling your pint. Incredible way to watch a match. We had to be up at like 7 in the morning the next day.
But German trains are good.
That's right.
Well, they're sensational.
We were men dying on our feet, and we actually said to the conductor, can we drink on the train? He's like, You have a 7-hour train journey. Why would you not drink? What an attitude. So we just had a couple of beers, and then the time we squared ourselves up, went to see Bayern, walked in, Allianz Arena, incredible. Me and my mate Tony went to the bar. We heard a big cheer going up. We'd missed a goal. We're like, shit. And then these two guys started having a full-on fist fight. Like in the, I don't want to call it the pie stall, in the concourse area, queuing for a beer. Full on, nobody splitting up, just two big 6-foot guys just having a proper bare knuckle, like, decent standard scrap. We missed the Robin goal, we seen a fight, and then Bayern won the game. I think it was 6-0 or whatever.
So net your winner.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Now, if this is a tit-for-tat conversation, we've never actually explained in public why there was a traffic breakdown one night after the Spanish Cup final in Madrid.
Oh, that's right, we had the hotel.
The swimming pool up the top.
Me and Big Doc. We came over to Madrid for... It was Guardiola's last game.
Correct.
Barca against Bilbao and the Calderon.
Correct.
That's right. And I just wanted to see the end of an era sort of game. And then we came over, that's right, met you. The hotel had a rooftop pool, didn't it? Bar and pool area. I definitely want to get back out this year.
There was a stage where you saw, you know, fabulous football, but just out of your constant curiosity to see what it's like firsthand, to see the people that inspired you. You know, it was like you were on a mission, just as you went to Argentina, why don't we go to Hertha Berlin as well as Bayern Munich? You've got an insatiable thirst to be at these occasions, eh?
Definitely.
It's nothing to do with hospitality or luxury or that. It's an unquenchable thirst to see good football at first hand.
It's stadiums, isn't it? And it's just a different, supporters, different cultures, just watching how different countries, their routines even, just before the match. Here it's pretty much you go and put a coupon on, you have a couple of pints and then you go to the game. But it's just seeing different countries' version of what you did before it. And I just love all that sort of stuff as
well. That day was Calimocho and we were singing with the Athletic fans. In a restaurant, we'd got our little neckerchiefs on, I don't know if you remember.
The big fans, I've never heard a national anthem as disrespected in my life. And they played the Spanish, I don't know why they never just binned it. It's Bilbao against Catalans and Basques in Madrid. And they brought, I felt sorry for the singer, remember they brought her out to sing the anthem. And it was the guy beside us, everybody was booing and whistling. And then the guy beside us, he just went full on, pulled his jeans down. Stood up in his seat, Bart Simpson, just fucking bare arse. Just slapping his arse cheeks as the anthem's on. Me and Big Docker just looking at him going, you've made your point, mate. This guy's
not...
You never told me that. That's absolutely brilliant.
No, fan of the anthem, but... I'm just standing watching him going, ah, and you need to sit beside him for the rest of the game after you've seen that side of that guy. Like,
I think I'll ever catch on that mode of expression at football matches.
What, the full?
Just full RCF.
Up in your seat, RCF.
I think that should be allowed.
It'd be a good TIFO, wouldn't it? Good display. Everybody, when the team's
in the middle, arms in the shoulder.
Stand up in your seat, pull your arse out. Be intimidating, imagine the away team. Welcome to hell.
Your love of La Liga was, you know, we talked before, stemmed predominantly from your dad being a Real Madrid fan in those days. Real Ronaldo, as you called him. If I asked you to close your eyes and take a snapshot, from those days that you were watching, you know, in Clyde Bank and you were moved by Redondo, say, or Brazilian Ronaldo, who do you miss from that? Because everybody's got, you've got nostalgia maybe for Lubo at Celtic or Henrik at his best. Now, if you could close your eyes and click your fingers and go back to a team, an era, a player, a piece of skill, what do you miss when things have gone from that era that inspired you?
When I first started watching Spanish football?
Yeah,
well, obviously Ronaldo, he was the first guy that I remember just being besotted with, and I wanted these jerseys. I was only like 9 or 10, but you could understand. He was the first guy that you were, you'd never seen stepovers and stuff like that, so that was the first guy I remember. You would put on the game just to see Ronaldo, the way... I'm going to say kids, but the way adults put on a game because Messi's playing. Ronaldo was the first guy who had that effect on me. Like, you would watch him, you know, rather than the actual match, but he was Luis Enrique, and I used to enjoy watching him. I remember finding it strange that he'd played for Madrid and Barca. Mm-hmm.
In that era, that was still quite unusual.
He had the Graham Hunter look going on. he rocked it. I remember having a pendant my mum bought me on holiday years ago, and it had the whole team. Mm-hmm. Like Nadal. Remember the defender?
Yeah.
Is he related? He's related to Rafa
uncle.
Nadal.
His uncle, aye.
Is that his?
Yeah, Tony's his brother, that's Rafa's dad, yeah.
Right.
Milakal Nadal, I mean, a beast and a wonderful footballer from the back.
Albert Ferrer.
Yeah. Chappy Ferrer I still work with. Chappy, you know, next time you're over, we'll go out and have a couple of drinks. Chappy's a wonderful guy. Wonderful, really nice guy. Right back, won the Olympic gold medal.
I love your connections, Graham. I remember the...
Matt Damon never played for that team.
In Milan, you said to me, we're going to go to the fan zone. My mate's DJing. We went down, Mendieta. I never knew he was a DJ.
Kevin, he adores his music, man. He lives for music.
It's good sometimes you see what ex-footballers, it can be quite a trap. No, if they don't go into something that they're happy with, it can be quite your best years are behind you. But to see Mendieta just up on the decks, looking, he was having the time of his life, I was just... Having a beer, I was going to ask Mendieta.
He played some good music as well, didn't he?
Oh, it was amazing.
To see a square full of Real Madrid and Atleti, who do, you know, as fan base, do genuinely dislike each other. It's odd to see them all milling around, eh?
No. Because it's a hard one when Atletico play Real Madrid, it's a hard one to decide. It's like watching two pricks fighting, isn't it? It's like you don't really know who to support. I did come around, I like Simeone. I think he's infectious. I like his passion.
Do you remember we saw him that night in our hotel? He was there with... Who was he there with?
Was his big assistant?
Batista, yeah. Mono Burgos.
Because he played...
He was the keeper in the double
Argentina,
team.
Argentina.
And he was a pin thin like that.
He was the backup keeper to that guy that thought the world was going to end, wasn't he?
That wasn't Leo Franco. No,
Carlos Roa
from Mallorca, correct.
He retired from football in 99 because he thought the world was going to end.
Yeah.
That's an awkward
right.
January the 1st, isn't it? Having to phone your boss. Oh, sorry. My mistake. The world didn't end. Can I still get a game?
A chance.
I remember Burgos, he was a backup. Is that right? No, he's Simeone's.
As the way those who are close to the club, really close to the club, tell me that Simeone's a brilliant psychologist. He's all the rip roaring aggression and the waving his arms that you see on the touchline is not what the players get. The players get somebody who's really smart at managing men and getting the best out of them. Whereas Mono German Burgos,
they say he's fitness kind of.
But also, yeah, no, that's Profe Ortega, who's
that's the guy. They say he's
Full
Metal Jacket.
Oh, and the rest.
US military level
scares the shit out of Diego Costa. You know how those two go together? I have no clue whatsoever. And obviously, Profe Ortega doesn't work out too hard with Mono Burgos, who's sizeable. Mono Burgos is a giant now, but as a keeper, he was very, very good. But he's the guy that will work out on the strategy, the tactics, the set plays. It's a really good football brain there. And I sent Barry Robson is working with Aberdeen now, and Barry needed to complete his UEFA badge, whatever it was. And he needed practical. So 2-3 weeks ago, they allowed him to get out there and spend 2-3 days, and he came back very impressed indeed. And I know why you would. Joe Lowe's an attractive football character, isn't it? Whether you saw him playing or on the side, the things that he does and how he, what he looks like while he's doing them, that draws the eye.
Yeah, there's managers that you enjoy watching on the side, like, and he's one of them, like Jurgen Klopp. Mm. He could watch Klopp for 90 minutes, just put a camera on him. Because it means, did you ever see that one when he was the manager of Dortmund? I think he was playing Napoli, and I've never seen a guy as angry about a decision. I don't know what the decision, but he was just going, his face, you actually find it. Like, I think it's been used as a meme, how angry he looked at the decision.
I think he talked about that in our podcast.
He apologised, didn't he, for how angry he got?
He did feel embarrassed, didn't he, my memory is.
But I think he looked that angry that the decision should be overturned. If you can get that worked up, then the ref's got to go, look.
But it's not manufactured, eh?
No, it's just,
you know, passion. You see some managers will put that on to impress the fans or to give the player something, and it's raw from him, eh?
And Klopp, Simeone, the guy, Sarri, that was he's a Chelsea man.
He's special, eh?
He looks good as well.
So that final was two Spaniards fighting it off in San Siro, and we did a nice day. And the point I was making was, it was strange to see fans mingling like that. And you started the La Liga memories by talking about Ronaldo, which I guessed you would. Does it raise your eyebrow, Roger Moore style or Carlo Ancelotti style, to find that he's president of Valladolid now?
Ronaldo is?
The guy who, you know...
I never knew that.
Who, you know, has lived more largely since he was a player, and you can see the evidence of it. He's now, so Valladolid came up this season and he's just bought over and he is in charge. And they were struggling and they were playing East Stirlingshire football, until he took over. And since he's taken over, they're playing Champions League football and winning all the time. And it's incredible. So when you're free, we need to go to the Nuevo Zorilla, and go and watch his team and go and meet him.
Definitely.
You up for it?
What, meet? The Ronaldo?
It's doable.
Of course I'm up for it.
Right, today.
What is the connection with, why is he at Valladolid?
I don't know, and when he took over originally, it kind of looked like a gimmick, and then when you've watched him and listened to him and seen the effect he's had subsequently, it's patently not. There's patently something about him that, while he knows he's never going to be a coach or a trainer or a manager, and that kind of discipline in life is not... He's a big Baloo the Bear guy. And therefore, being daily... it's a doobity-doo. And therefore, being a leader of a club and having ideas about direction and things like that is patently something that suits him for the moment. Whether he loses interest or not, I can't tell you, because I don't know him that well at all. But he's in it because he wants to make them better, and he's in it because he wants a connection with football, and I love that. I'm glad he's back in. Kind of any way you can get a guy like him back into the game, seems to me it has to be good.
I know, it's just strange that he's a valid leader. I thought he'd be back into football and...
Correct.
...a role at Madrid, and but...
Correct.
He's had a few controversial moves, hasn't he? Did he not play for AC Milan and Inter Milan? He played for Madrid and
Barca. I'd say the answer to that is going to be yes. You're better than me at this.
How is he viewed in Spain?
He's hated it
at Barca. I take it they hate him.
Because of the way in which he left.
He never went directly, though, did he? Went to...
No. He forced them to allow him to go to Inter. And he claims to this day, and I believe him, that he was let down by the board, and that they reneged on a promise, and therefore, although he had an agent I disapprove of, I think it was legitimate enough to go. And his season that season, if you ever, I did a beautiful, an interview with Chappie Ferrer for one, but also the current Fulham manager, played against him, and I spoke to tons of people who were there with him, and it was like, being around him was just magical, football aside, you know, full of fun, being pranked by other players at Barcelona, and that's year when he scores 38 goals or whatever it is in 40 games, I can't remember the exact figure. Goes to Inter, plays football, maybe that's the best of his career, comes up against that Juventus side, and when Paolo Montero fouls him inside the penalty box in a, what is really a playoff for the league between Inter and Juve, even Italy is scandalised by the quality of the refereeing decision, whatever influenced that decision, and how Juve won that title in that game. Gets injured, they recuperate him, they work on him constantly for about a season and a half. He plays well in 2002 and he forces his departure to Madrid. So he's kind of hated at Inter, for sure. And at Madrid, people say that they've never seen a better striker. And most people who went to Madrid in those days like laugh at the idea that he's not regarded with Messi, never mind Cristiano, that Ronaldo is maybe... Their argument is maybe he's number one ever, bar nobody.
I watched a game the other night. It was a classical. I never knew Messi had played against Ronaldo's Madrid. You forget how long Messi's kind of been at that level. I just thought... classic Spanish football video or whatever, and it was like Beckham was on, Ronaldo, and
probably Figo.
He was playing as well. Mm-hmm. I think even Roberto Carlos.
I'd imagine Makaleli was playing.
It was just surreal seeing. Mm-hmm. You associate Messi with the modern era, but seeing him with the.
But at that time, when you or I or anybody was watching, Messi looked to us like, oh, that's promising. He's
Jerry Armstrong was just, I think Messi hit the crossbar. He'd done a wee kind of mazy run, hit the bar, and then he's just going, this kid is something special. And it was kind of strange hearing them talk about him in those terms. But I never realised he had crossed over the two sort of generations when you're watching him play against Beckham. And
what's the Messi experience been like for you? Now
See the other night against Spurs, the game
4-2 game,
and that was as good as I've ever seen him. Mm-hmm. And it's quite, I've been really busy obviously with my shows, but I had the night off. I thought I'm going to watch this game, just sit down old school, just watched it, and it was as good as I've ever seen him. And I think he seemed that the World Cup almost, it could have derailed him a bit, but I think he seems even hungrier than ever, and it's exciting. I think this year Barca could be.
Well, he's never before scored, what is it, 5 goals in 2 games in the start of a Champions League. Now that he's the captain, he stood up at the Camp Nou in that. I think you've been to the Gamper game where it's an exhibition game, and therefore the players, one or two of the players, certainly the leading player, the captain, the coach, will speak on the pitch briefly. And Messi's like, you know, he's not a great big speaker. And he was like, you know, we did well last year. I've inherited this armband from two greats before me, Xavi and Iniesta, and we did well last season. A double is good, but we won that beautiful, that historic cup from the beautiful competition back here. And I think you can see it in how he's playing. Somehow there's another...
Because I've not really been watching as much Spanish football because they don't show it on Sky anymore. You need to download, was it 11, that was called?
Without advertising on their behalf, do it, because there's a new added bonus now with extra bumper Graham on there. So,
or a dodgy box.
Definitely do it.
So I've not watched, you're just sort of relying on match reports and statistics or whatever to see.
Yeah.
But you forget how deceptive and how it does Messi such a disservice just to rely on the stats when you actually watch the guy. Because even like an assist, I don't really agree with since I've started counting assists. Because you watch passes, right? You watch Messi, he'll play a 30-yard incredible pass to somebody that just needs to tap it across. So, for example, Messi will square it away up to Suarez, he'll tap it across, and somebody will have a back post tap in.
So you're saying the pass so Suarez the gets be the assist. Thing.
He, on record, he has got the assist, whereas it happened a lot with Iniesta. He'd play the same kind of passes. Somebody would just roll it over to the striker, tap it in. But it goes on record as this guy got the assist. I think it's such an overrated stat. I don't think they should be counted, is what I'm trying to say. But
yeah, but okay, so I'll buy that argument. And therefore, what you're hinting at is the fact that Messi does now so much more than he used to do, and even, you know, what would be considered as the absolute glory days, because he's effectively playing in midfield and still scoring 40, 50 goals a season. You know, if he's the anti-penultimate pass, then not the assist, the one before or two before the assist, that tells you positionally where he is in the pitch and his link play with Jordi Alba. When you take Xavi and Iniesta away from Messi as dance partners, and we always knew, and you were there to see that in Alves, he had a guy who completely understood him and loved doing daft, crazy things over the pitch to rip other teams apart. You take all of them away, and him and Alba just reinvent themselves as the perfect, you know, Fred and Ginger of the football pitch.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd watched a Barca game in a while. It was the Spurs game, and it was just like, you could see it coming again, the Guardiola. So, who's the Brazilian, the midfielder? He looks great.
I've always known you know football, man.
What's his name
exactly,
again?
Arthur. It looks as if he was born and brought up in La Masia.
Is he Brazilian?
That's made me so happy.
Is he?
No, he's Brazilian, and he's only just joined this summer. You're literally in the company of Messi and Xavi. Xavi, I know from speaking to him, thinks Arthur is good enough to be his inheritor.
Yeah.
But won't speak about him publicly anymore because of the pressure that was on Xavi when he was taking over for Pep Guardiola. Xavi, being as smart as he is learned enough not to repeat the pattern and go, oh, fuck, I've done the same to him as was done to me. So back in Qatar, he's watching all this guy, and he's jumping up and down on his sofa but with excitement. And Messi doesn't talk about
it. It looked great that night.
Your eye is good. Messi was asked a few weeks ago, like, you know, of the new signings, and he went, well, you know, they're all very good, but Arthur.
See, I never knew they'd bought him. I thought he'd came out of the academy, because he's got that mould that he's just ready-made for their sort of
movement,
style.
Thinking, passing, 1-2. I don't care where he's playing. It happens to be that in the club where they used to play that system. Like, watching him is just pure joy.
That was, I'm excited when I watched him. I was like, this could be the start of something.
We share a view.
And I'm glad they got rid of Neymar. He just never suited it, did he?
I don't
football-wise, but his personality
and stuff.
I think
he's never immature. But like, would you like to see him? Do you think he'll grow up? I'm trying to say a question that I don't believe in myself.
We spoke about Ronaldo and the Brazilian, like Rivaldo, Ronaldinho, Brazil. You grow up, right, World Cup, that's everybody's, probably everybody's first football memory as a World Cup, summer holidays and
definitely
watching the games, right? So you, Brazil teams were, no, Romario, USA 94 is the first World Cup I remember, and it was, you know, the yellow jerseys, the blue shorts, the football they played, and I think it's quite sad that that's going to be tarnished through this World Cup this year.
Prince Boy, you're talking about the play act.
Neymar rolling it. It's kind of ruining that legacy. You don't
agree? You hear the great players at Barcelona talking about him quite affectionately. You know, so skill aside, they quite liked him. And yet, he does seem to be making an arse of himself. And I want to say this very tentatively. There are whispers that this season at Paris Saint-Germain, and whether it's him hearing those words that you've issued from millions of people, or whether it's his sponsors, it won't be his dad, that's for sure, who's like, you know, son, let's make money and party. You know, he's led his boy down a wrong road in life. Or whether it's Tuchel, I don't know. But the word is that maybe he's playing with a little bit more maturity this time. Maybe something from the World Cup left him with a bad taste. I don't know. That's quite a tentative.
Would you mean with the backlash with these?
Yeah. That maybe he's gone...
The way he carries on.
Okay, I'll try and focus a little bit. And I was not defensive of him. All of that aside, which is how he behaved in La Liga too, he was kicked to fuck. So as a completely separate concept, I know that not all that he does is kind of like, oh, look at me, and this is disgraceful. And the things that made me angriest was when he was, for his boot sponsors, doing little arse around things like tying his boots too long in front of a free kick so that the boot was in camera all the time.
See, that's grim, isn't it?
And he did one.
How much money do you need?
Cost Barcelona. Thank you. That's exactly right. And you're at Malaga in the season that Zidane's Madrid won the league, he did something where he did that, got booked. He's been kicked around, reacted to a kick, which I've got a lot more sympathy for him, sent off, they're down 10 minutes, got beaten, that kiss goodbye to the league. That arsing around with the boot thing,
yep,
tallied to the second yellow, means that they're fucked in the game and they lose the league. So what kind of guy is that? Not my kind of guy.
It's the diving. And he's got a lot of tattoos, isn't he? For a guy with such a low pain threshold. Oh, every time you see him, when somebody touches him, he's rolling about nearly in tears. What do you like when you're getting your arm?
Maybe they slap him to the chair, eh? Maybe they do a full hand of lecture, eh?
General anaesthetic or whatever, but he's a very tattooed man for such a wimp.
Thank you for joining us for season 2018-19. We've got huge creative plans for the months ahead, but we do need your help to make them happen. Please go right now to patreon.com/GrahamHunter and become a socio, become a paying member, and get an extra big interview every month plus loads of bonus content. Last season, socios listened to 9 exclusive big interviews, including Rafa van der Vaart, Troy Deeney, Roberto Di Matteo, and loads of me talking about football. The Premier League, the Champions League, Spanish football. I'm sure they enjoyed it and you will too. Support us, join us. Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.